Let's make confession over our Bibles this morning. Get tuned into the Word of God. You know, you can have lots of good things happen, but if you don't focus and get tuned into it, nothing good will happen. So grab hold of your Bible, say this. This is my Bible. It's God's Word to me. And I believe all of it from Genesis to maps. And I'll receive absolutely everything God has for me today. In the name of Jesus. All right, be excited. Praise God. Praise God. Brother Hagin always said that the scriptures that we're excited about that works for us. If you're not excited about it, even as powerful as the Word of God is, it doesn't work for you. Jesus said in his day, when he was here, that the Word of God has no effect when we have more excitement, more focus on our own way of looking at things. So we want to always look at it from the perspective of the Word of God. Put on your Word of God glasses and look at everything through that. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Praise you, Lord. Look at a scripture you probably have underlined, verse 1. Probably could say it without looking at it. I have notebooks full of notes. It's a good place to put notes in your notebook. And I look on the computer at the ones that I have compiled in faith, and it takes a lot of space. I've taught on a few times, and we're going to do that this morning again. Hebrews 11, 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's good when God takes something important and gives you a definition for it, because the more we understand it, the better it is. There are a couple of definitions of the word faith in, well, every Greek English lexicon is going to have a definition of the word faith as it's used here and as it's used particularly throughout the New Testament. I was looking at Vine, says its chief significance is a conviction respecting God and his word and the believer's relationship to him. Our relationship to God is based upon faith. Well, that's pretty obvious. We're going to look later at verse 6 in this chapter, and without faith it's impossible to please him. So obviously, you know, you got to believe that he is, that he exists, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. It's interesting when you're studying the Bible, if you get a Strong's Exhaustive Concordance or something like that, you can not only look at the definition of the word, but you can go back to the root word, and a lot of times that gives even more light to, you know, what this word is all about. And the root word means to be persuaded or to allow oneself to be persuaded. It's about persuasion. We are persuaded by different ways. We're persuaded by words, we're persuaded by different things, but faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I'm gonna try to get more into that as we go through this morning's message. Noted over the years, and I've told you this a lot of times, four times in the Word of God it has this phrase, the just shall live by faith. Amen. It's in one time in the Old Testament in the book of Habakkuk, and then in Romans, Galatians, and Hebrews, the just shall live by faith. And I think about that, and I think any time that something is repeated multiple times must be important. Got to go back to that. Amen. Now, what does the word just mean? Righteous, same thing as righteous. We are declared to be righteous. We're not righteous on our own righteousness. Our own righteousness is filthy rags. Our right standing with God comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. He declared us to be righteous based upon what Jesus did for us. When you accept Jesus, you get his righteousness. We get right standing with God. We are qualified. We're made right. We're made as we should be. Sins are forgiven. All that is tied up in this righteousness. So that's us. Everyone who's born again is in that state with God. And those who are that way shall live by faith. Must be important. Amen? So, we come back to the word live. The just shall live by faith. In the Old Testament rendering, in Habakkuk, it means continue safe and sound, to be healed, to flourish. So, the just ones, thus born-again people, shall continue safe and sound, be healed, and flourish by faith. The New Testament, it's the word Z-A-O, which you can see is related to the word Zoe, which we, the God kind of life. Here's what Vine says the word means. The maintenance, duration, and enjoyment of physical life. The recovery of physical life from the power of disease and the power of death. I mean, think about that for a second now. The just, those of us who are born again, how many of us? It's us, okay, are going to live. We're going to, the maintenance and the duration and the enjoyment of our physical life is going to be by faith. The recovery of physical life and from the power of disease is going to be by the recovery of physical life from the power of death is going to be by. Sounds like it might be important. You might want to know how that works. Believe in God. And it all comes back to that. You know, this is what we say. Somebody comes up on your porch, knocks on your door, and wants to talk to you about their religious belief. It comes back to, who is your faith in? Is your faith in Jesus? That's the first question to come to. It's always about Jesus. It's not about what day you go to church, all kinds of other things that come up. You know, it's about, what do you believe about Jesus? Is he the Son of God? Has he always been the Son of God? Is he the one who paid the price for your sin? Is your righteousness based upon what he's done for you? Or are you trying to, you know, be part of a group of 144,000 or something like that? It's always about Jesus. Always comes down to that. And then, you know what they believe is of no value to you anyway, is what do you believe? And going back to the faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of the things not seen, and we live by this particular kind of faith. Now, a lot of times messages come together by meditation, but by asking yourself a question and thinking through that what the answer might be, and then see whether that is valuable, whether the Lord's just speaking to you, or whether that's something you're supposed to bring to the congregation. And there's something about, I don't know what the deal is, but when I'm brushing my teeth, the mind wanders. I don't know. I guess I figured out how to do that without thinking about what I'm doing. Or what are you thinking about when you're not thinking about what you're, however that goes, I don't know. So anyway, I was, brushing my teeth and I'm thinking, I was thinking about some things that need to be done outside, and I want to get to that. I want to be part of the process. We had a great work day yesterday. We appreciate all of you who came, and we got a lot done, more than was even expected. We got done yesterday. Appreciate everybody coming. So I was sitting out there and watching. You learn a lot from watching, but I'd rather participate. Looking forward to doing that. So I'm thinking through all this and thinking, I'd like to have a manifestation of the healing. It's about time to have this come. Amen. So thinking through the process. So the first thing I thought of was, where does this stand? What am I about? What should I be doing? And I thought, first of all, I am thoroughly, thoroughly convinced that it's God's will for me to be healed. Amen. It's too late to be talked out of that. I don't care what anybody else thinks or any. Yeah, I've been in the Word long enough to know this is what God wants from me. He doesn't want me in the chair. I don't want to be in the chair. It's time for me to come out of this situation and move on. And I didn't come here just feeling good one day or feeling bad one day. It's been a process of getting here. But Diane and I didn't. The church we grew up in, a great church. We got born again. We got baptized in the Spirit there. But as far as healing was concerned, it was kind of haphazard. It's, you pray, check it out. If nothing happened, then it must not be God's will for anything to happen. And then you just try to figure that out or you just live with it. And, you know, I guess you could say it's good that you can live with it, even if you think that's what God's will for you is, but there's better than that. Better than that. So, you know, we took the time to go to Rhema, took the time to study this out and come to that place. Every one of you, if you haven't done that yet, are going to need to do that. If you're not facing a challenge now, there's some down the road. I hate to have to be the one to tell you that, but if you haven't figured that out yet, life is challenging at times. And the way through the challenge is to believe in God. It may not be sickness and disease. It might be some financial needs. It might be a need for peace. All kinds of challenges come along, and the way through them and to get to the other side victoriously is to believe God. And believing God is going to be based upon what you understand His will to be. It's going to be almost impossible, if not impossible, to get to the other side if you're not sure God wants you to get to the other side. Doesn't that make sense that way? So, you know, we've got to deal with that. So, then I understand that God has already done everything that He's going to do. I know it's His will for me to be healed. I've come to the place more recently that He's done everything He's going to do as far as what I need to have done in my life. This has been a big challenge to come to this place, because we were just talking about this on Thursday night, starting a new book. You guys should be coming. Amen. We're learning a lot from that and some of the other books that we've studied through recently. Come to this place of understanding that there's nothing else God has to do. Right. And that sounds, well, sure, I agree with that. But a lot of things that we do and a lot of the ways that we pray and a lot of the ways that we act and the expectation that we have or don't have is based upon we're waiting for God to do something. Scripture in 2 Peter says, God is not slow concerning His promises, some men count slowness. He is patient with us. Amen. Not willing that any should perish, but all should have repentance. All should come to repentance and everything that means, healing and everything else. Amen? Amen. You know, God will help us, but we're not waiting for Him to do something. If we're waiting for Him to do something, we're just waiting. And you can wait a long time based upon that. Now, let's look at that. Let's go to, first of all, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, faith is the substance of things. And the word things could be defined as things that are already accomplished. Think about that. Faith is the substance of things already accomplished. The evidence of things already accomplished but not yet seen. It's not about whether they exist or not. It's about whether you can see them or not. So my healing already exists. The finances that you need to catch up, they already exist. The peace that you would love to experience already exists. It's just in the invisible realm, and we need to bring it out of the invisible realm into the visible realm and enjoy it. Amen. All right, go to Mark 11. See, a lot of these things we know. We just got to get an organized, focused way of seeing it and believing it at a heart level. Mark 11, verse 22. You all on the same page so far? We're making progress? Okay. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Now, you know what was happening here the day before He cursed the fig tree. Not because He was mad at her, He lost His temper, but because He had an opportunity to teach a life lesson to His disciples. So He said, nobody's going to eat fruit of you from now on. And when He said that, it didn't look like anything had changed. Think about that. You know, we decide we're going to believe God. Doesn't mean necessarily we see something visible right away, but we will if we stay with it. Because the next day, they came and one of the disciples looked at it and said, hey, that thing you cursed is died from the roots, which is the way it works. That's the way it works, from the roots. And then what you see, when you see it in the invisible, it's basically already taken place. Have faith in God, or you could say, have the faith of God, or have the God kind of faith. And when we find out that we, as we read further the New Testament, we find out in Romans chapter 12, we have a measure of the God kind of faith. And then 1 Peter, or 2 Peter chapter 1 says, we have like precious faith. You have the same kind of faith as Kenneth Copeland has. And Kenneth Hagin had, and Jesus had. Yeah, that's the most important one, isn't it? Same kind. Sometimes we think, you know, well, I'll never have that kind of faith. Well, you do. Same kind. Praise God. Let's read on. Have faith in God, or have the God kind of faith. For assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea. There was a mountain there when he was saying that too. And does not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things which he says will be done, he'll have whatever he says. It starts with what God has said, but then it comes over into our life, and we receive what God has said, and when we say it, and when we say it, and we're believing in the heart level, things happen. Amen. Amen. Not they might happen. It would be nice if they'd happen. No, they happen. Amen. When we believe at a heart level, and we receive God's word, and we're saying what God says. It's not based upon this verse. It's not what God says. It's what we say. Based upon what he said, goes back to that. So our confession is from is going to take one direction or the other, one of a multitude of a few directions. Let me put it that way. If we are confessing, and we've taught on confession over the years, it's important what we say. Read the book of Proverbs, you find out it's important what we say. Death and life is in the power of the tongue. Important what we say. Need to shut up, probably first, and then learn to say the right things. I don't know. I found it to be that way. I found I had to learn to shut up first, and then start talking the right things. So we learn to say the right things, and then when we get it a heart level belief, we believe it in our heart. We've come to that place of immovable faith, and we speak it out of that. Then things are happening. I mean, in the unseen realm, demons are fleeing if they're messing with us, and angels are coming to our aid, and things are changing, praise God. And it's very soon you're going to see out of the invisible realm, it's going to come to the visible, it's come to the visible realm, and you're going to feel better. The finances are going to show up, the peace is going to be there in a way that's manifest to you. That's the way it works. Now, if I don't believe it at a heart level yet, then I may need to persuade my heart. And I'm going to have to do that. I mean, we can help each other and be encouraging to each other, but it's going to come down to God has done what he's going to do. I need to persuade my heart. I need to get my heart lined up. I was, Bill sitting there, I'm thinking about he took the time when he was attacked with cancer to persuade his heart. He was reading the Bible and reading the right books, and I'm sure talking to himself, and whatever you got to do, slap yourself up the side of the head. We're going to talk about that before we're done, but you got to persuade your heart, because if you're going by, when you have challenges like that and you're going by what the doctor says, it may not be much help. And I believe in doctors and medicine, because God wants us to get from not healthy to healthy, and if it takes some medicine to do that, praise God. God's for that. Don't have to, throw that away. But in the process, the doctors are working with the knowledge that they have. And their knowledge might not include what God's going to do. And they might say, well, there's no healing for this. That's what I've been through. There's no healing for this. But there is healing for this, praise God. In Lord Jesus Christ. We come back to that. Now, notice verse 24. So either the confession from verse 23 is going to be, I already believe, and I'm speaking from belief, or I'm going to persuade myself, my heart, into believing. And one of the things we've got to be willing to do is to recognize if we don't believe in our heart level. It's right. It's the right thing to recognize where we are. There's no sense in trying to lie to yourself. If you're trying to say that you believe and you don't, it makes an incongruence. It makes things aren't meshed right. It's like trying to listen to a channel on the radio that you're not really on. Or I listen to a sports channel. When we go over to Amsterdam, there's some other channel that's real close to that, and it keeps going back and forth. You get one of those kind of things. When you don't believe it at a heart level, you can't just say I do and you don't. It doesn't work that way. You have to persuade your heart. All right, verse 24. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you'll have them. So it's not believe and then, it's not you get and then you believe and then you get. Yeah, there's an order here. But there's some important words here. The word ask is ask with the assumption that it's already been given. This is not ask to see if it's going to be available to you. This is asking for something that belongs to you. This is like sitting at the table past the mashed potatoes. And I'm going to make you hungry now, and you want to leave on me. So. This is something belongs to you. Just pass it over to me. That's mine. And it's demanding in a sense, but it's not demanding because God doesn't want to. It's demanding because that belongs to you. Healing belongs to you. Praise God. Forgiveness, all these things that are in salvation belongs to you. Pass me some. Pass those Brussels sprouts on by, but I want those other things. Ask all things that you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them. The word receive, to take what is one's own, to take to oneself, to make one's own, to seize. Just shall live by faith. This is the only, Wayne and I were talking about this, the two Waynes together, you don't know what you're going to get. But the only battle that we have is faith. The only question is, are we going to believe? What are we going to believe? Are we going to believe here, or are we going to believe down here in our heart? That's the question. So, to take what one's own, to take one's own to himself. This belongs to me. I'm asking for what belongs to me. And it's mine, so I'm going to take it. It's not just if somebody happens to come by and drop it in my lap. It's I'm taking it. Amen. This is mine. And you have to be, we have to be that focused about it, that belligerent about it, whatever word you want to use there. So, here's the process that I'm thinking through. I know that it's God's will for me to be healed. And I've come to know recently, he's done what he's going to do. I'm not waiting for him. I mean, I knew that on a head level, but I'm really understanding that at heart level. So then the question comes, well, then what am I waiting for? Hate those questions. Because, the responsibility comes back on me. But it's always been there because, I mean, Jesus did a pretty good job with his responsibility. Pretty good, man. Checkmate. Did really well. So it's back in our lap. Not waiting for God. And really, I'm not just waiting for a mental change because, well, it may start there. I might have to start changing my thinking, but if that's as far as it goes, I'm still waiting. I know that you're thinking about me, but you need to think about you and what are you waiting for? First of all, you gotta be convinced that it's God's will. And then you're going to have to convince yourself you're not waiting for him. And you can't let yourself think, well, if Benny Hinn would only come to town, or if whoever, if I could just get to one of their meetings. Well, that might be nice. It might help the process. But still, you're going to have to convince your heart. Or you'll still be waiting. Are you thinking? Okay. So, you come to the persuasion that you need a heart change. You need a heart transplant almost. You need a, like one of those old movies, you need to, Dr. Frankenstein to come along and go, those two bolts on either side of the neck and recharge your heart, but refocus your heart, get it persuaded in the right direction. Let's go to Romans chapter 4. Verse 19. Romans 4:19. This speaking about Abraham, who said he's the father of faith, so he'd be a good one to study in this area. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, or strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. I guess in light of what we're saying, you could say he had a heart belief that what God had promised, he was able to perform. Remember how God spoke to him? He said, see the stars up there? That's how many descendants you're going to have. See the sands? Gave him something to see in a visible realm so that he could see past the visible realm and see to the invisible realm and believe God that that's what was going to happen. When you're told that and you don't have any kids, and every year goes by and you don't have any kids, and it's getting harder and natural to think that you would ever have any kids, and you still believe God, you must be convinced at a heart level. Abraham really, this story of Abraham really infuses me with strength, because I think if you don't think that way, in the situation that I'm in, every year goes by and it hasn't manifested yet, and you think, well, it just isn't going to happen. But because, time is a difficult commodity to overlook when there hasn't been a change in the visible realm. Pain is a difficult thing to overlook. But this is what, when you're persuaded in your heart, it doesn't make any difference. When you're persuaded at a heart level, you can push right on past that. You can stay with it and let that thing die at the roots so you can have a visible change. Praise God. Now, interesting, in verse 19, and most of the modern translations will have picked this up, in the King James and the New King James, it says he didn't consider his own body, but that's really not a good translation, because he did. He just wasn't moved by it. Here's where the New Century Version says it this way: Abraham was almost 100 years old, much past the age for having children, and Sarah could not have children. Abraham thought about this, but his faith in God did not become weak. He thought about it, but his faith in God didn't become weak. He stayed with it, kept believing God. It's because it's not, people get the idea that faith is just blind. It's just, you don't pay any attention to the things around you. You don't go to the doctor. You don't even want to know that kind of stuff. You need to know when you need to go to the doctor. You need to know if you should have surgery and not have surgery. And you need to know, should you do something financially to change the situation? You need to know, should you take some overtime? Those kind of things you need to know. And be honest with yourself and where you are and consider that. But then always, always come back to, I'm going to believe God. What are we going to do? Believe God. What are we going to do? Trust God. That's what we're going to do. Praise God. Abraham took a look at the situation. He understood where he was, but he didn't let it move him. Can you hear a diagnosis and still not be moved? Can you get an unexpected bill and still not be moved? Can you have difficult things happen around you and still not be moved? Because you can't just hide your head in the sand. That's not going to work. You're going to trust God. God didn't say nothing ever would go wrong around you. He said you can trust him. He'll bring you through. Praise God. Be willing to admit to yourself that you're not really fully persuaded if you're not. Because then you can say, well, then I'm going to get fully persuaded. You don't have to, please, don't call everybody and say, hey, I'm not fully persuaded. This is something you deal with in you. Between you and the Lord, and use his word. So it comes down to this. How am I going to get my heart persuaded? Well, going back again to Hebrews 11:1. Requires faith. Faith requires evidence. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If I'm going to persuade my heart, I'm going to need evidence. Bring back to my situation, I've got evidence to the contrary. I've had pain, open sores, and all this stuff over all these years. Doctor's reports. We've got lots of evidence that this is the way it's going to be, and it's not going to change. So I'm going to have to build up for myself some evidence to the contrary. Now, how am I going to do that? Well, in 2 Timothy 3:16, it says the word is profitable for, one of the things it says it's profitable for is reproof, which is the same word as evidence here. So the word is profitable for evidence. So that's where it starts. And I've spent a lot of time personally in the Word of God and have scriptures underlined. And when I do the Kindle now, I can highlight it that have to do with healing. I have a CD that I think you can get that is there's healing in every book of the Bible all the way through. So I've spent a lot of time developing a catalog, I guess you could say, of evidence in the Word of God. Starts there. But if that's all you do, then it's just here, unfortunately. It doesn't necessarily get down here from that. Sometimes it does. Sometimes you get it, and it's the Word of God, and you get it, and it goes right to the heart. But then if you got all this other evidence that you've got to overcome, you know, maybe your thing has been, your whole life is struggle financially. That can change. Amen. But you have all this evidence that, you know, just the time that you get ahead, you take one step forward, what do you do? Two steps back. We got all these sayings, you know, that evidence that it's not going to change. So you're going to have to collect some evidence that, nope, it will. At a heart level. Not just up here, but at heart level. And there's evidence in the Word of God that'll help you with that. Yep. Or maybe, you know, your thing is this, I'm just nervous all the time. I'm just depressed. I just can't seem to have a positive attitude towards life. And, you know, you may have lots of evidence about that. But it can change. And it starts with the Word of God. Right. Jesus said, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, I give unto you. Don't let your heart be troubled. Don't let it be afraid. It can change. Praise God. In verse 6, and I've mentioned this before, in chapter 11, Hebrews verse 6, but without faith it's impossible to please him. For he comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Well, we want to please God. We want changes in our life. We're working on this faith deal. to get it into our hearts. So one of the things that we need to do is to look at, to make sure we're looking at, well, hopefully you believe he exists. Please. Hopefully we're that far. You know, so maybe you have to deal with that. I don't know. Maybe you have to get some evidence for that. There's evidence of that. Even just looking around, there's evidence of that. Praise God. So he exists, and that he's a rewarder. A rewarder is one who pays wages. Or we could look at it this way. If I'm going to convince my heart, one of the things I'm going to have to get into the Word of God and get that evidence, and then take that evidence and look at everything that, no matter what's going on, God's a good God. Good and always good. Anything that comes from God is going to be good. He doesn't do bad sometimes and not so good sometimes. He's not making me sick. He's not wanting me to be sick. He's not allowing me to be sick. He's not making me poor. He's not taking my money away. Didn't kill off the kids. Doesn't cause me to have a car accident. None of that bad stuff comes from God. James, the book of James says that God is good and there is no shadow of turning with him. There is no bad side. We're not waiting for another shoe to drop. It's good. Didn't make you have a flat tire on the way to work, so you'll be late. That's not come from God. Most of it comes from our own stupidity. Can I put it that way? So we know evidence comes from the Word of God, and when you look at God as always being good, it eliminates some of the bad evidence. God didn't want me to be sick. God, you know, I fell for this thing before we learned a lot of this stuff. God made me sick so I can be in the hospital and minister to people in the hospital. And you know, all of a sudden it dawns on you, I could have gone to the hospital without being sick. Didn't have to be sick to go. I could go just on visit. You know, a lot of things we fell for just don't make any sense when you think about it. So, well, let me make a list for you here. You know, information, application, and transformation. So, I'm trying to give you some information, but if you don't apply it, we just had a good time and we went home. So, apply the Word of God to your life. Don't just read it. Read it, study it, but apply it. You know, you got to get it in there. We need to go through the process in our lives of putting off and putting on. So you find a heart attitude that doesn't belong, you need to put it off. Put off those things concerning the old life. Put off the sickness and disease. Put off the attitude towards sickness and disease. Put off the depression. Put off whatever it is that doesn't belong. And then be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Praise God. And put on your redemption. Put on your healing. Put on your right to be pain-free. Put on your peace. Put it on. Okay? Then experience yourself living in the results. Now, how do we do that? Well, it's called meditation. Scary word, but that's really all it comes down to. Stop and picture yourself and think about yourself being without that sickness and disease. And picture yourself being without financial problems and being at peace and whatever it is that you need. Take time to picture yourself. It's been suggested recently, first thing in the morning, do that. Last thing at night, do that. Picture the thing working for you, praise God. Because when you get not only a mental agreement, but you get an emotional agreement. Remember we started out saying, it's the scripture that you're excited about that's working for you. Amen. So you take time to do that. And then, it's been said this way, and you have to think about this. Have intention. Intend to get to the other side. Intend to get healing manifest. I mean, after a while, you can just say, well, I'm just going to live with this. Or you can say, no. I'm going to have victory. I'm going to come out of the chair. I'm going to experience peace. I'm going to, this thing's going to work. God paid a high price for your healing, for your deliverance, for your whatever it is that you need. Might as well have it. But you have it because you intend to. Focused. Praise God.